I'm Em.
And I'm Lex.
And we're thrilled to welcome you to the Ready, Set, Coach podcast.
Now, we're not just your hosts. We're also mamas, entrepreneurs, coaches, friends, and co-founders of the Ready, Set, Coach community.
What began as a pandemic side hustle has blossomed into a vibrant online community crafted by coaches for coaches.
So when we're not immersed in our coaching community on Circle, we're busy managing our other businesses, navigating the ups and downs of life, and of course, recording this podcast.
This is where we dive deep into epic conversations about life, business, coaching,
and everything in between.
So are you ready, Lex?
I'm set, Em.
Let's coach.
Ooh. Hi, Lex.
Ooh, what was that? Ooh, what?
The Zoom recording thing, like a new pop-up showed up. It was on the top versus like covering your face. And so
Maybe you have like an updated version.
Maybe Zoom is optimized. But Lexi, I have to tell you, it's our like formal virtual anniversary. I know it was our formal meet cute anniversary last month, but like this week is our formal virtual anniversary.
Wait, how do you know that? What did we do?
I started hosting virtual events.
And I came to them.
And you did come to them.
Okay.
I think that's how we blossomed our relationship. And at some point you hosted events for my company as well.
Oh my God, how cute are we?
I know. We should find, actually, this could be a fun social media thing for us. So we should do like all of our first initial emails, like the
blossoming. Like our like girl flirting, like how can we be mutually beneficial to each other / like this girl's cool / you being let down that the PR bar wasn't an in-person bar / new entrepreneur Lexi, like fresh, wide-eyed, bushy-tailed / oh no, there's a global pandemic. What the hell is happening in the world? Also, disclaimer, guys, I'm sick and have a cough drop in my mouth. If I sound weird or you hear like my mouth, there's something in my mouth. There is something in my mouth. It's a cough drop.
Lexi is now crafting a new brand of cough drops called Lexi Coughs a Lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're on YouTube, you guys, here's one Ricola, here's two Ricola, three Ricola, four,
okay,
five Ricola, Ricola, six Ricola, seven Ricola, more.
That's amazing. I love it. Yeah, no, this episode is brought to you by Ricola.
Ricola.
Lexi is now the spokesperson. She is going to a Swiss Alp and she is yodeling in the middle of nowhere.
I have the hair. We'll just braid it. So
I'm a great braider. Did you know this about me? I think you knew this about me. Yes.
I didn't. I did not.
I braided your hair when you came to Denver in the nightclub that we went to.
As we sat in the corner. Yes. Okay.
Guys, my benefits of being friends with me in high school or in middle school were I was great at massage. I still am. Fun fact. And I was a great French braider. I still am. But those were like the qualifications that got me into the cool-ish slumber parties because I was like, can I braid your hair? Can I give you a massage? Will you be my friend? So that's
instead of being out grinding on the dance floor with our husbands because it was a double date, they had to watch as we sat outside and Emily French braided my hair at the nightclub.
Nothing says 30s like a French braid in a nightclub. Yes. Squirreling even more, I feel terrible about this, Lexi, but I know I made you wildly jealous this past week.
Dude, the FOMO was next level.
Guys, I got to meet not only Corey, who is like our heart and soul. Corey, shout out to Corey. Just to meet her and to be picked up at the airport by her was just such a treat. But I also got to meet
Jody.
That was the week before. And then I got to meet Emily Guerra.
Oh, yeah. Our Ready, Set, Coach community leader. You know, guys, Emily's relationship, it's like I've already accepted she's the favorite parent, right? Like there's the cool parent and then there's the parent that I don't know, disciplines or whatever. Anyways, Emily's the favorite child, or maybe that's the way to. She is the favorite. Everyone's gonna love her. She's also the one who's gonna show up. And then I'm gonna be over here and I'm gonna still
Doing our
have a
taxes.
role in their lives somehow.
You're basically talking about my relationship with my child. I drop him off at daycare and he like points to the teacher and he's like, "Where's daddy?" Just like, wait, I'm mommy and I just dropped you off and you're already asking for daddy. So yeah,
Here we are. Here we are.
not true.
So, I'm gonna squirrel our squirrel back to non-squirreling. So, okay, here we go, guys. We were talking for a good 20 minutes before hitting record about what we wanted to talk about. And generally, we come up with a title or a core concept, and we didn't land on one. However, there were some shared themes that we kept bringing up, and these themes have come about for Emily and I over the last few weeks in our businesses, and they bring to light a few different phases of business and a few different phases and considerations that we're going to bring to you now. So I don't have the killer title right now to segue this transition, but welcome to this episode of the Ready Set Coach podcast. So, okay, let me set the stage a little bit. I was on a call with a agency client of mine who is ironically launching a coaching brand, but there's a lot of context to that, but we'll skip that. He was talking about, we were kind of outlining, we were PRifying him. And one of the things we were doing was branding his methodology for coaching, for business coaching. He's a very successful entrepreneur. And one thing he said was, what a lot of CEOs get wrong in business, what a lot of CEOs do. And I mean, this is a nine-figure CEO. So he's talking about if you're trying to go from 1 million to 10 million, like what's the hang up? Is that CEOs have a really hard time letting go of the day-to-day. What they need to do is get out of the day-to-day and be able to delegate and basically be okay with not everything being perfect. Now, I felt super called out in a good way because
Say.
this is me to a T. Like I have a very hard time letting go. And my client's like, Lexi, that you just, I'm like, how do you overcome that? He's like, you just have to. If you want to scale, you need to get out of the day-to-day as a CEO. So I was voice noting Emily, and then I'll segue this to you, Emily, and it brought up something that's been top of mind for you lately.
Definitely, and I love that you felt called out too, because I always feel called out, and I'm so good at helping other people delegate and get out of their own weeds and out of their own way. And actually, a shout out to Reese Evans. Years ago, I remember having a conversation when she was delegating, and she's has a multi-million dollar business now. And she's like, one of the things that helped me up level was thinking about, would Jeff Bezos be making a Canva graphic for Amazon? And I was like, ooh, this feels so real. So delegating for me, Lex, has been quite the journey where I feel like I have like an ebb and flow with delegation, where it's either like I'm sending my child off to boarding school and I don't want to look at it in terms of delegation, or like I am a helicopter parent and everything that they are feeding, dressing, and serving is incorrect. And I'm not going to tell them why, I'm just going to change it. So I think there have been moments I've lived in happy medium, but what I was sharing with Lex when she voice noted me was so top of mind. So again, same wavelength sometimes, Lex. This feeling of, woo, what am I thinking right now? So was thinking just this aspect of like reassessing, and we're wrapping up the first quarter of the year and reassessing what is on my plate that still is can and will be delegated, and what I desire to be delegated for the quarter ahead. And this is a really important exercise for if you're of like a party of one, a party of 21, just looking at your plate and realizing like, oh crap, I am hogging the buffet and I am not sharing with others, even though I am paying for them to eat here too. What is it with my metaphors today?
I don't know, not your best, but you
No,
usually nail
thank you.
them.
Thank you. Sorry. Sorry, guys. I haven't had my taco
No,
Tuesday
okay.
yet.
So, and I think actually it is worth breaking down the stage of company and the size of company, because I do think it varies. Because the reality is, if you're a new coach and you're just starting out, you might not have the luxury of an abundance of funds to help onboard team and support to delegate. So I do think when you're new business, depending on your circumstances, you do need to roll up your sleeves. And I think it's smart to roll up your sleeves and do everything, because I think you should know how everything works in your business. However, at a point, there reaches a point where you need to learn to let go. And I think that's especially hard in our line of work, when the core product that we're selling is so attached to who we are as the coach. It's hard. It's hard to feel like we can outsource or delegate us, right? At least that's something that I've really had. Yeah, your brain's having a light bulb. What are you
My
thinking?
brain's firing, and I can't remember who this conversation was with. So if someone's listening that I had this conversation with, let me know. But someone was telling me they enrolled in a coaching program because they were so in love with the social media that this person put out. Lo and behold, come to find that they hired and delegated someone to do the social media, and they felt a little betrayed. They're like, whoa, these weren't your original thoughts or your ideas. So that ownership aspect you're going back to, Lex, that feeling of like, well, I feel like I'm disingenuous if I don't write the social media, because what they're buying into is me. And what if they, again, they like the cover, but then they don't like what it is that they're consuming. So yes, I just wanted to reiterate yes. And I also want to add to that too. There's this aspect of delegation with a small business, with a one-person team, where you look at your funds and you're drowning in work. You have so much to do, which is great, but maybe you're not at the fund level where you can actually like justify delegating. And there is that internal dialogue that needs to be had. Like, am I going to maybe go into a little bit of debt temporarily so I can get out of this drowning feeling, so I can scale? Because there's a chicken and an egg before change and growth happens.
Yeah, 100%. One thing I can promise everyone listening, and I think I'll put my pole in the ground here. There is no such thing as a multi-million dollar coach doing everything by themselves.
Yeah. And if
And I
there
want you
is,
to think about that.
DM me, because I'm
If
very
there is
curious.
no, I'm going to put my stake in the ground, and I can't wait for you to prove me wrong. There is not a single multi-million dollar coach who's doing it all themselves. So it really kind of depends what your ambitions are. And this, let me go back to that conversation I was having with this agency client. And he said, you know, this is a big difference between when someone passes the 6K mark and then passes the million mark and then goes to three. He said, even 3 to 10 is a massive difference. That's a huge leap in business. And so many things have to change. The difference being the CEO really needs to get out of that and focus on core bottom line needle movers and drivers. And so when we think about coaching, right, obviously, if you decide you're going to do high ticket one-on-one, you can't necessarily outsource literally the coaching element. But there may be things, to Emily's point, like social media, where you need to come up with some happy mediums. You need to free up your time more to the things that allow you to bring in more revenue.
Yeah, and I think in that aspect too, about you say you have a high ticket one-on-one and you are selling a program at a really high, like a six-figure price, do you need someone to pre-vet the people so you're not getting on every single potential sales call, or you delegate it to someone to create like a really sophisticated sales funnel to bring them into your front door, but you're not the one necessarily hopping on like 20 calls back to back all day long, because your time is so valuable and so protected. So it's like hiring those outside people to be those gatekeepers, to be the ones to judge or pre-sell what working with you looks like.
Hey everyone, Lex here.
And M.
And if you haven't heard, we did something pretty darn cool.
We sure did. We launched a completely free community built specifically for coaches.
Say it again for the people in the back.
We launched a free community for coaches. Tell them quickly who it's for and what we're doing inside, Lex.
Sure thing. So it's
for anyone from the coaching curious to side hustlers to coaches ready to scale. And through the virtual platform that we've built, we've created a safe and fun space to learn, launch, grow, connect, ideate, collaborate, vent, and evolve together.
Nailed it, Lex. Now, while it's free, you must apply in order to gain a free membership. You know, so we can make sure everyone inside is awesome, like us.
Apply today at ReadySetCoachCommunity.com.
And I'm going to do a big call out for me here. If you want to scale, and if you're anything like type A like me, and blur the line sometimes with micromanagement and perfectionism, that is going to be a big hurdle, because you have to let go of perfectionism if you want to scale.
Guys, so we decided that this title is called Coaching Therapy.
For Lexi.
No, but Lex, I think that, you know, especially for perfectionists and for people who are type A, you have to remember that your B plus is better than most people's A plus pluses. And so to lean in to that B plus mentality. And in my journey with delegation, while it has not been perfect, and we've talked about this in past episodes previously, but one of the biggest mistakes that I would do when delegating was when my VA would hand me a graphic and there was a spelling error or there was something wrong with it, is I would change it right then and there. And I would like send it on to whoever I needed to send it to, when really what I was supposed to do was let her know what was wrong with it, wait for it to be returned, approve it, and then maybe have her send it. But that waiting period, Lex, is like, what, we're such fast mover and shakers. We want things done yesterday. And so when we do have to wait, and we both have been guilty of being like, fuck it, I'm sorry, excuse me, screw it, we're going to just do it. We're going to do the thing that I just asked you to do, but I realize you're in a shower, so like, I'm going to do it. And the patience aspect of delegating is challenging.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, the reality is too, you could spend 3 months spinning someone up for them to quit. That's a reality.
Yeah.
I can't sugarcoat that, guys. Now, one thing you can do, and one thing we suggest to give you something a little bit tangible here, right? Because we're talking about a lot of realities. That was therapeutic for me. So thanks for listening. There are things you can do to help make the next hire in the next 3 months go a little smoother. And that is systematizing and writing SOPs. So one thing I did, I recently hired a new PR assistant and coordinator. And the very first task that she had was to create SOPs for everything I was training her on, with videos, with everything. I'm like, so as I teach you tasks, your task is to then create an SOP Bible, right? So that if you leave me, and I told this to her, I'm like, I hope you don't, but if you leave me, I now can hopefully, instead of taking 3 months to train someone, have 2 months, or at least feel like I can be a little more hands off.
And how genius of you to have her do the task too, because you've done this thing a million times. So having her recorded and documented in a beginner's mindset of like, oh, this is nuanced. You have to hold down this key and this key to get this thing, versus you just doing it automatically and kind of in your sleep. So that's genius. Delegating an SOP to a new hire, so then it's ready to rock and roll.
Another thing I'll say, something that I've really tasked myself with, we often talk about delegating the things we don't like. What I don't think is talked about enough is delegating the things we do like. I freaking love creating graphics. I love, and I'm fast at it. I'm so fast at updating my website. So for me, they bring me joy. And why would I pay someone else who's probably going to do lesser than I and take longer? To me, I've never been able to get past that. And I'm really trying to shift my mindset to your point that you brought up earlier. Is Jeff Bezos making the Canva graphic just because he can and he likes it? Probably not. So if scaling from a revenue standpoint is something I want, if that becomes one of my goals, then I do need to let go and learn how to put a team in place and support that team to create things. So it's on me. That's on me.
And that's such a Like that so resonates with me too. Y'all, I host a ton of virtual events, and recently I had this moment of I love hosting them, but I also think I love I actually rewatched 10 Things I Hate About You, so squirrel. Like I like my Skechers, but I love my Prada backpack, and I love my Prada backpack, which happens to be coaching, and I love it, and I feel really charged by it, and I feel really like I feel like that's where I shine and I can really be the truest and highest version of self. And so it's this aspect, but I like event hosting and I like showing up and I like meeting new people. So it's creating that like happy balance of rather than me doing it all, which I can, recognizing that I can also craft a role and an opportunity for someone to become an excellent event host and to give them the gift of being in front of people, especially someone who loves it and is charged by it and is passionate about reaching out to event venues and crafting experiences. Where if you had asked me 10 years ago, would I ever see myself not doing that? I'd say, like, you're insane. And now I want to kind of be a special occasion version at events. I don't want to be at every event. My life priorities have shifted a bit.
Yeah, it's when you talk about scaling revenue and scaling a business for a coach, there comes a point where you really do have to put on the CEO hat, and being a CEO looks different than being a coach. It does.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's even a conversation you need to have with yourself, right? You don't have to have aspirations to be a multi-million dollar coach. That does not need to be everyone's pie in the sky goal. You can be perfectly happy replacing your corporate salary, I don't know,
Yummy.
salad plus salary,
A Caesar salad.
salary, making $75,000 a year. That affords you and your partner a great, comfortable lifestyle in the city you live in. And that's great. There is nothing wrong with that at all. And if that's the case, then maybe you don't even need to be thinking about the conversations we're talking about. But if that revenue threshold, or if getting past or getting to that next big revenue jump is something that you're striving for, then these conversations we're having become real.
Yeah.
Welcome to
No.
therapy.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome. So I think it's an energetics thing to your point, is just recognizing like, are you happy with what you're at, or do you envision even more for yourself? And even what you had said about the CEO and the coach, I do know some coaches or who are coaches and they show up in their content as coaches, but they are the CEO of their business and they hire other coaches to do the coaching for their practice. So like there's so many ways to envision your business, especially when it comes to coaching and what it is that you're offering. But rather than we don't want you to leave this episode feeling like, oh my God, I'm a failure, I'm not thinking big enough. We want to challenge you to look at your plate and see like what can I give to someone else and make money to create jobs for other people? And think of it as an abundance thing. Like, I truly believe that when you start thinking about your business like a business, you're creating job prosperity and economic change for your greater community.
If you want to, but I
Yeah.
also want to devil's advocate that you don't have to. If that doesn't light you up, there's nothing wrong with that. For a long time, the thought of having an employee was the last thing I wanted, and I think that's fine. Permission
Sorry.
for that to be fine. Yeah. The question I think you guys can have sitting in the back of your head is, just because you can, should you? Can someone else do this better? Is this the best use of your time right now? Or can this be outsourced? Even to Emily's point, if it, I want to be careful here, and I understand everyone's financial situation is different. Okay, I'm being mindful of that. But if there is a way for you to right now spend a little more to put your CEO hat on to allow you to focus on revenue generation activities a little bit more, can you?
I feel like we need to play like witchy music now, like ooh, goosebumps. So with that, Lex, do you want to give them any more homework, or is that's good enough homework
I
right
think
there?
that's good enough homework. I think, to kind of, let me circle this back. The theme really of today's episode, and that has been circulating and percolating in Emily and I's brains, is what it really takes to scale. and what it really takes to get to that next level from a revenue standpoint, and what that looks like and how that translates into the day-to-day of a business, and how can we get out of our own way, and lovingly calling ourselves out a little bit more and reevaluating and auditing what we're doing day-to-day, and if that's really what us as CEOs should be doing. If we want to reach X revenue point, then we do. We need to change each level of business. Just because you hit one mark, to get to the next mark, more change is required.
Yeah. Lexi, thank you for therapy. My insurance company will be paying you directly.
Fantastic. Sounds great.
And listeners, thank you so much for listening to our inner brain being dumped in front of you all.
In real time.
And we want to hear from you. This is a two-way conversation. So shoot us a note on Instagram or email us at hello@readysetcoachprogram.com just with what your thoughts are and what you're feeling. And also, I want to say, if there are things that you want to learn about or hear about, let us know. This is our favorite thing in the entire world, is when we get inspired by these real life interactions and conversations. So with that, we'll see you the next time on the Ready, Set, Coach.
Yes, my voice hurts. So you're getting okay. Bye, everyone.
If you're enjoying the Ready, Set, Coach podcast, please leave a review wherever you are listening. For more information about Ready, Set, Coach, visit readysetcoachprogram.com.